Good morning. Good to have everybody with us. I know everybody is tickled to see the sunshine this weekend. Great to have this nice weather. We are very thankful for that. And good to have everybody out. We're going to start class this morning. Brother Hal's going to open class with a word of prayer for us, and then we'll get into lesson 14.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this first day of the week, the Lord's Day. It allows us to gather together to study from your word once again. Father, we thank you for all that you blessed us with. We thank you for the change in weather. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for all your blessings. We pray that you be with us this morning. Bless the teacher as he brings the lesson to us this morning. We pray that we might take the lessons from Proverbs and put them in our lives and act them out each day in our lives. Forgive us of any wrong that might be in our lives. Direct our steps this day. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Okay, so looks like most of everybody's here. The time change kind of seemed like it snuck up on us this year when the weather kind of crazy like it was. It's been kind of a little bit different. So we were going to do this class on Wednesday night. That's two times on Wednesday night we were supposed to do this class, and we got snowed out. So Gary and I decided that we would go ahead and I would do it this morning. And then what's going to happen on Wednesday night, go ahead and prepare for lessons 19 and 20, and that is the tongue has the power to give death, and the tongue has power to give life. So he's going to cover both of those classes on Wednesday night. And then we'll get back with you for the rest of the period after that on, there may be the restructuring a little bit of what we're going to cover and pulling a couple classes together to be able to try and cover everything. Because we also skipped a lesson, which was Righteousness Exalts a Nation. So we're going to retool just a little bit, and we'll let you know what's going on Wednesday night. But like I say, be ready for lessons 19 and 20 on Wednesday night. Lesson 14, Proverbs 31. And this is, you know, traditionally known of as the virtuous woman. In my Bible, it kind of footnotes it as the wise woman. And a lot of good things to talk about. I mean, this is a topic that entire books have been written about. That, you know, you can take some period of time to read. And we're going to try and cover it in our class this morning. So, we certainly won't be able to hit absolutely everything. But we'll try and hit the things that are important. And again, I want you to speak up. I want you to be participating in class as much as you possibly can. And repetition. I continue to challenge you to take something that we use from each one of these classes, or we study from each one of the classes, and meditate on it and think about how you're going to take it and apply it to your lives. And as we talk about the virtuous woman today, you know, this lesson is not just about women. This lesson is about men. It's about families. It's about children. It's about so many things that we've already talked about in the book of Proverbs already anyway. But basically what this lesson does, if you think about it from a character standpoint, it takes a whole lot of the things that we talked about for the entire study, and it kind of rolls it all into one with regard to the character development of women. But it doesn't just apply to women, too. There's a lot of the attributes that we'll talk about today that are certainly important for any one of us. It also identifies the traits that should be reflected in the thoughts and actions of mothers and wives. So when you think about character, in my opinion, is the morality of what we study, the knowledge that we develop in action. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to know it and do it. All right? So we can know something and not act on it, and it's kind of disconnected from our thought, if you will. But to know something and do that something is, you know, it can be very disconnected. The other point that I made on this slide is ladies, personal commitment to truth and righteous living creates the person God would have that you to, for you to be for Him and for others in this world around us. Now I want you to stop just a minute. I want you to think about the impact, either positive or negative, that a female figure might have had in your life. Maybe it's a mother. Maybe it's a grandmother. Maybe it's an aunt. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a friend. But you think about the strength of a female that has had positive impact in your life. Think about that for just a minute. Sometimes it's because of adversity that they overcome. Maybe. Sometimes it's because of the challenges that they are up against and they make it through those challenges every day. And maybe it's not just any one individual thing, but it's a lifetime of things that you see in that individual. And you know, here's the other thing. And there's, you know, you'll be able to relate to this. A lot of you will be able to. You know, when I stop sometimes and I think about how old I am today, I think, how did that happen so fast? And I certainly sometimes feel my physical age, but mentally, I don't generally feel that way. I feel a lot younger. I think a lot younger, right? And life and who we are and the character that we develop and the person that we become doesn't just happen in one day. It happens in the minutes and the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years that make us who we choose to be. So as we think about a virtuous woman, we also need to be, guys, we need to be thinking about ourselves too. And we need to think about some of these same things that have impact on who we are. Time and energy connected to everything you do, mothers, as we talk about the lesson today, or the things that you don't do. You know, how many things get past us in life? Oh, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that. I should have done this. And we don't. And then we don't go back and try and reconnect with that. We're just sorry that we didn't, but we don't do anything about it. So, you know, when you talk about the character of the worthy woman and the virtuous woman, I like the lesson title there, A Woman More Valuable Than Anything Money Can Buy. That says a lot. You know, in the materialistic world that we live in today, that's really making a big statement. A woman more valuable than anything money can buy. First of all, what's it like to have that kind of woman? And second of all, what's it like to be that kind of woman? That somebody would value that way. That you value yourself that way. Right? Some of the character traits: worthy, excellent, virtuous, moral, love for family and neighbors, worthy to be praised. And like I say, that's not just a description of a few minutes, that's a description of a lifetime. That's something that you don't just do in a day or it doesn't just happen overnight. Any special verses that anybody would like to point out in any of these verses there in chapter 31 that kind of get your attention? Anybody got one in particular? Just shout it out.
I like
31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And again, fears the Lord comes back, like we have in Proverbs 1:7, and we've got a number of times throughout the entire book of Proverbs. What else?
15.
She also rises while it is yet night, and she provides food for her household. She takes care of her family. She does the things that are necessary to take care of her family. What else?
Verse 21.
She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. taking care of the needs of her family. Anything else?
11 and 12.
Excuse me. 11 and 12. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's great. And again, that talks about that relationship that between the husband and the wife that exists. And we're going to get into some of that a little bit more in just a few minutes. Any other verses in particular? 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. That's really good. I've got that underlined in mine also. 25. Strength and honor her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. Again, it's all really good. And a lot to be learned here for sure. Okay, let's get into the lesson. Four main points that are made in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. First of all, the advice of a king's mother to her son. Second point is who can find a virtuous, worthy woman. The third point, what makes this kind of woman so valuable. And the fourth point is her reward is described in four ways. So the first thing that I want to do there is I want to go back to the book on page 117. And I thought this introduction is so good. It just would. This guy did a really good job with this book, I thought. And I've had many of you tell me how much you've enjoyed the book. And Brother Harkrider did a great job on just the outline of the thing. But in the intro, he says, "Have you ever gone on a scavenger hunt? If so, you can sympathize with many women today. They rush frantically, pressured by deadlines, gathering a piece here and a piece there, but never quite getting it all together. Much of the search is centered around the woman herself. She often questions her identity, her purpose in life, even her worth. One of the most beautiful tributes to a woman is when others identify her as the virtuous woman of our text. She's worthy, excellent, virtuous. She possesses such excellent character, moral strength, and love for her family and neighbors that she's worthy to be praised. This is not a description of one day nor a week of her life, but rather a lifetime." And again, as I've said, you know, this lesson's about the virtuous woman, but the same can be said for us too, men, with regard to many of the things that we're going to talk about. And I think all of us ought to take these things and understand where they apply and do the best we can to try and have impact in our lives where we have need. Okay, so we start on page 117, the advice of a king's mother to her son. First, basically, it's about counsel. You know, the words of King Lemuel, again, it was someone that's been mentioned only this time. The first nine verses of this chapter form an oracle that Lemuel has been taught by his mother. And it's basically the advice that what he should do as a king. But the other thing is, you know, it's basically an overall attitude and a life that we should try and live. And while many of these principles apply to what the king should do to be the righteous king, it also talks about the character of our lives individually. In 31:1-3, it says, "Keep yourself from ungodly women." And how many kings fell as a result of the relationships that they had that were with women that were ungodly? Many to be cited, for sure. In verses 4-7, it says, "Refrain from wine or strong drink." Again, how many times have there been kings that have let alcohol get in the way of them making good decisions about providing leadership that should be provided in taking care of their people? And then the third part, in verses 8 and 9, it talks about righteous judgment. It talks about defending those that are unfortunate, afflicted, and needy. And again, you know, problems that occurred for so many people in leadership positions where they were not in a position to do what was right, or they were in a position to do what was right, and they didn't do that. And I'm just going to get us to look at these verses. In verses 1 through 9. "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, 'What, my son, and what, son of my womb?'" And again, this is an important thing too. "Son of my womb, my son, and son of my vows." So first of all, it's talking about the commitment that she has to him, the responsibility that she has to him as her son. So she says that, "You're my son, You're the son of my womb, and that you're the son of my vows. So that's my commitment to you. That's my responsibility to you. And again, mothers, it's talking about responsibilities to children, to try and provide the right kind of instruction to children. It, you know, just so happens that her son's a king, and he's got a great responsibility. But when you think about that responsibility, she takes it very seriously. Do you not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings? It says, do not give your strength to women, nor to the ways that destroy kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing. It says there's a place. And if somebody's dying for their pain, they have strong drink, but don't you use it because it's going to have negative impact on what you're doing. Wine to those who are bitter of heart. He said, let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of poor and needy. So again, it's talking about being a wise person, being a person that takes that responsibility and does what is right in the way that you live, in the way that you make decisions, in the way that you treat other people, in all the things that are a part of your life. So again, it kind of seems like an add-on to the rest of the character part of what's talked about for the virtuous woman in verses 10 through 31. But again, it's talking about that responsibility of providing character guidance for children. And again, mothers, that's a great responsibility. And I don't think you ever quit being that mother of character guidance in your life when you're trying to help direct that child to be the person that they should be, to make good decisions about the things they should do, about the things that they shouldn't do. And I think the fact that he's a king, when this advice is being provided, it's even more the reason that you don't ever quit providing advice that's good, solid advice. Comments? Okay. So let's move on to the next portion of the study there. It starts at the bottom of page 117. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? So what does virtuous mean? When you think of virtuous, what does that mean? If you're going to be a virtuous woman, you got to know what it is. So what does virtuous mean? Righteous. What else? Pure. Godly. Heard something else over here.
Worthy.
All of those things. So, ladies, to be this virtuous woman that is talked about in the 31st chapter of Proverbs, you know, those are the things that you've got to think about. You've got to think about the kind of character that you have, what's reflected in your life. And that's the big thing right there. All those things sound good. It's like I was talking about a while ago. We know all these things, but are they connected to what we do on a daily basis? And again, that doesn't just apply to women. It applies to all of us. You know, we know all these things, but do we apply them? Do we put ourselves in a position to be able to apply those things on a regular basis to try and be the kind of person that God wants us to be? If you go over to page 118 there, there are so many different ladies that are mentioned. Ruth, Hannah, Eunice, and Lois, and a lot of other ones. Ruth's the only one that's actually called worthy or virtuous. But we know them to be godly women because of the things that they were involved in, because of what they had been involved in their lives, the decisions they had to make, the impact they had on other people's lives. You know, and again, personal example, as Gary's done so many times. You know, I grew up in a home where my dad was not a member of the church. And my mother was. So that was an added responsibility on my mother to try and do what was right for myself and my sister. To try and be the spiritual leader for us. Right? Not easy. You know, and that came as a result of a choice that she made when she got ready to get married. And she married somebody that wasn't a Christian. I love my dad. though he wasn't a Christian. And he never became one. And that was hard on her. But it was a choice she made. At the same time, she did the very best she could, and always has, and continues to today, I think, to be the kind of example that she needed to be for us. So choices that we make have impact on not just a minute, not just a week, a day, a month, but sometimes a lifetime. But again, if you think about the teaching that a lot of these women were involved in, think about your life, ladies. And again, I would say men do the same, even though we're talking about the virtuous woman. What kind of teaching are you doing for your children and for other people? You know, we talk about, the Bible teaches us that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women with regard to responsibilities. So how are we doing there? You know, ladies, how are you doing on trying to teach somebody else what a virtuous woman is? And is it reflected in your life so that they would see that that's something that they want to have as part of theirs? What are the things that you say, and what are the things that you do, and what kind of example are you to other ladies, women, that are members of the body of Christ, or people of the world? You know, they know that you're a Christian, or you profess to be a Christian, and what do they see, and do the two of those add up? How important is that? How important is it? Tell me.
Very important.
Very important. I like that. It is. I mean, because the things that we say and the things that we do, again, if they're not connected, it doesn't have much impact on people. Or it can in a negative way, right? We can talk about it all day long. We can come every time that door is open. But if people don't see it reflected in our lives, then it just doesn't mean much, really. Yes, sir, got a comment right down here. I mean, you know, it's got to be something that people see in our lives every day in every way.
I think what you just said about your mother and your father not being a Christian, it brought to my mind in 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. You know, there was the thing is that your mother had a good reputation. You know, that you could say that she had a good conversation. She had a good way of life. It reflected on the children, evidently, and not the father. But yet, she's, you know, brought honor on herself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, choices that we make every day, I mean, they do have impact. They even impact the way we think about ourselves, if they're the wrong kinds of decisions, too. So, you know, we got to do the best we can every day to do the very best we can. The bottom of that slide right there, all that are mentioned had influence on others because of who they choose to be in their actions, their example, their character, their virtue. And kind of the point that I was making just a few minutes ago, we got to think about what kind of example are we. And again, we're talking about the virtuous woman, but I want us to think about ourselves too, guys. You know, what kind of example are we to other people? What do they see in our lives? And is it reflected in a positive way that God would want us to see? Okay, page 118, we continue on there. Not every wife is a good thing. What does that mean? Not every wife's a good thing. What's it talking about? How could every wife not be a good thing? She chooses to be loyal or she chooses not to be. She can be royal or rotten, as it says in the book there. A worthy woman is a crown to her husband, but a woman who acts shamefully is rottenness to his bones, as we previously learned in Proverbs 12:4. You know, think about the influence, men, that your wife has on you. And it can be vice versa, too. Think about the influence, men, that we have on our wives. But in this one, we're talking about the virtuous woman, and we're talking about every woman is not a good thing. Guys that are not married, excuse me, guys that are not married, Are you just looking for somebody so, hey, you know, how are you going to make your decision about who a good woman is to spend the rest of your life with? How do you make that decision? How do you make that decision? Gary, I mean, I know you've, I've heard you say it before. Bring the microphone, but run down through there, Jason. Look at Jason run. Y'all ever seen him run before? That was his run right there.
Well, when I was looking, there wasn't the internet. So okay. I couldn't sign on to anywhere and look. Right. I put a lot of miles on a vehicle visiting gospel meetings because that was where the woman I was wanting to find was going to be.
Okay. So fish where the fish are.
Yes.
As the old saying goes. I mean, you're looking for somebody that reflects the kind of character that you read about in the Bible, the kind of character that you're trying to have in your life, and the kind of character that you know God wants you to have. That's what you want to have somebody help you develop and be strong in.
Since we're on this subject, I don't think it's ever too early to start preaching to your children about your mate needs to love the Lord. My children are 9, 6, and 3, and every other day I'm telling them, whoever you marry, please make sure they love the Lord. That first, the rest second.
Absolutely.
It's just too dangerous not to.
It is. It's tough. I mean, life is tough enough anyway, but to have somebody that doesn't have the same kind of goals eternally that you do, you've just added an extra burden on you and your children for the rest of your life. Now, there have been people that have been converted, you know, and that's a great thing. That's a great thing, but I'm just saying, and there may be some folks that are, you know, it's not so bad. But anyway, it's really important. There's not anything any more important than that decision that is made with regard to making sure that you got the right kind of lady that's part of your life, man. Okay. The strength of a good wife comes through the fear of the Lord. Again, we read that a little bit earlier, and it's all through the book of Proverbs. The emphasis of putting first things first. And if you know somebody that's trying to have that kind of character, then, you know, it's going to be a much better situation than if they don't. The point's made that many times divorce is blamed on incompatibility, but in general it's linked to materialism and the things that pass away. You know, when people start having problems in their marriage, sometimes this is, you know, members of the church, and sometimes it's, you know, a member of the church and not a member of the church. You know, how many times does money become a problem in a marriage? Y'all agree with that? You know, it's money. We don't have enough money. Maybe we're overextended, or we've got too many things that we want to have materially that we created a problem for ourselves financially. And then that kind of, you know, puts everything else at risk with regard to the relationship. So it's not just necessarily the woman, but it's the woman and the man. But again, if there's the right blend of who we should be and what we should be, then we do our very best to not let the material things become a problem. Okay, another part of what it talks about on page 119 with regard to value and what makes the woman so valuable is that she honors her husband. What makes this woman be valuable today? Her husband can trust her. You know, people ask me, you know, if you would ask me and you continue to ask me today, but it really meant something especially at the first part of our relationship when I first got married, and we'll be, I guess, 32 years in June. But I was on the road a lot, and I'd be out of town. I'd be at conferences. I'd be at things where there are a lot of other people. She trusts me, and I trust her. Trust. You know, there's a lot of things that are important to that relationship. But if you don't trust one another, there's not much foundation for building on. And I knew I would always be able to trust her. She's going to do what she thought was best for our family, and that she's not going to cheat on me, and that she trusts me, that I'm going to try and do what I thought was best for our family, and I'm not going to cheat on her. And that's because we both fear God and want to do what's right for each other and for God. I can remember when our first child was born, when Nathan was born, I can remember, you know, we'd been married 3.5, 4 years, and it's the day that we're getting ready to go home, and I'm walking down the hall of the hospital, and I'm thinking, Gene, oh no, it's not just me and her. Now we got this little baby that we're responsible for too. I've got a soul that I helped bring into this world that I'm responsible for. That's a great responsibility, parents. When you think about the fact that you made a life along with God and your spouse, you brought another soul into this world, and you're responsible for that soul. That's a great responsibility to take on. And so you want to make sure you got the right person that you can trust, that they've got the kind of character that God would have them to have, that they're going to do what is best for you. The virtuous woman, for me as a husband, she's going to do what is best for me. Trust in her good sense, her fidelity, her industry. Knows that her attitude is going to be what it needs to be, and she's going to be faithful in all things. The book says it well. That she's going to be an asset and not a liability to me. How many men, guys, do you know that their wives out in the world are not an asset? They're just as much a liability as they are an asset to them. Or ladies that you know that are liabilities to their husbands instead of an asset. He doesn't know what to expect. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if he can count on her, what kind of example she is to her children. I mean, it's going on a lot today, right? Y'all agree with that? There's just a whole lot of women out there, men too, but we're talking about the virtuous woman today. There's just a lot of women out there that they're so self-centered that they don't think about anybody else but themselves. And again, we can say the same for men too. And that's not what God says that you can be and be pleasing in His sight. Verse 31, chapter 31, 12 says, she seeks her husband's good and his continual source of benefits. She rewards herself by consistently pursuing his best interest. That's not a self-centered attitude. That is a someone else-centered attitude. Whether in good times or bad, she's loyal to him, loves him, and supports him. Good times and bad. That's kind of like when the vows occur, right? When the, you know, good times, bad times, sickness, health, whatever, I'm always going to be there. How many people are that way today? How many people are always there when their husband needs them? And then it says that she contributes to her husband's success. Again, she's going to contribute to his success by them being able to communicate with one another and him being able to ask her questions and be able to trust in what she says and know that she has his best interest, their best interest at hand with regard to what's being said and the advice that she would provide him. You know, my wife's given me a whole lot of advice over the years. And it's not in a nagging way at all. Don't want you to think that, because that's not the way it's been. It's been, I ask her, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And she will tell me what she thinks. Never in a nagging way. Never in a way, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I can't believe you do this, do that. Right? Now don't start turning around looking at each other. That's a dead giveaway, right? I'm just kidding. But it's that kind of relationship. And again, you go back to a husband and a wife that both fear God. You could have that kind of conversation. Everything's going to be okay on the other side of the conversation because of the respect and the love that you have for one another in trying to do what's right. Okay, let's move on. She loves her family. And this is where it talks about taking care of her family. She does things that are wise in being able to take care of her family. She is family-centered, I think is probably the best way to summarize a lot of that thought in 21 through 27. And really down into, you know, well, and he's got the verses where it's about a thought more than in chronological order there. But he talks about the clothing that she provides. She wants her family to look nice and look taken care of and look loved and prepared for. She's not lazy. She's industrious. She cares for the members of her family. Cares for the members of her family. Make sure they've got a good meal. Takes care of them in that way. You know, again, I can only go by personal example, but, you know, one of the things the kids always had when they got ready to leave in the morning was a hot breakfast. And that, I'm not saying it's everybody, but I'm just saying that's what my wife chose to do. And she always tries to make sure that we got a good meal in the evenings, and that's true today. And I'm like, hey, cut back. I don't need to eat so much in the evenings. But she wants to do what's right by us and taking care of us, and those are the ways that she tries to do that. She manages her home well. She's frugal. You know, she's not just out spending money all the time just because she's got it. Hey, how much is in the checking account? And I want this, and I want this, and I want that. No, she's thinking more about what the family needs. She's thinking about taking care of the family's needs. And she's making sure that those things are addressed. She's a good neighbor. She looks out for others. Somebody's sick, she fixes them something, takes it to them. She calls them. She sends them a card. She's checking on other people. She's letting people know that she cares about them. Top of page 121. Physical appearance. You know, this is one with regard to clothing. You know, fashion versus character. And I'm sure that sometimes that's a challenge. It's not as hard a deal for guys, I don't think, as it is for gals. And I mean, over the years, the hemline has risen and fallen and risen. I don't think it fell again. And so ladies that are trying to be virtuous women and have the kind of character and reflect being that virtuous woman, you know, you got to look at what you wear. Are you more concerned about being in stride with what the current fashion is? Are you more concerned with being in stride with what God would have you to reflect in your character by the things that people see you wear, how tight your clothes are, how high your skirt is, how much the neck on your thing plunges? Well, I just can't find anything else. And again, that's what I'm talking about with regard to the challenge of what's out there. And my wife, again, talks about it all the time. I've heard other women talk about it. It's hard to find something decent to be able to buy on the shelf that's out there based on what the current fashions are. But I guess you just got to look a little bit harder. The lesson says, with moral courage, she just does not waver from the pathway of dignity and honor. That's under B on page 121. So again, I think it's something that you've got to be committed to, and you've got to say, I'm not going to let it be a problem for me. Anybody want to make a comment on that? Comments? It's a challenge, but one you can take care of, I'm sure. Also, it talks about she takes care of herself from a health standpoint also. She is strong. I mean, you've got to be strong physically to be able to take care of your family. You can't be in a weakened state. You're concerned with your own physical fitness. You eat right. You get the sleep that you need. You do the things that you can't need to be done to take care of your family. And again, it talks about dressing nicely, and it's not regarded as frivolous. Her clothes manifest self-esteem as she dresses in a way becoming of a woman professing godliness. And it references 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10. So, again, not to the neglect of her family, but, you know, she presents herself well and one that reflects the kind of character that she should have. Also, she's industrious. Again, not lazy or complaining, not independent of her husband, but she is working to take care of the needs of her family. A large number of verses in the section describe the industrious spirit of the worthy woman. Excuse me. And it says that she takes pleasure in using her hands to see to the needs of her family and make sure that her family's needs are taken care of. She's busy in an effort to do what needs to be done for her family. She's industrious. She's not lazy. She is busy about seeing to the needs of her family. Then there's four different things that are described at the end there that I want to make sure that we get through. First of all, her value, her praise, her preeminence, and her secret. Now, when you talk about value and you say that her value is above rubies, that's pretty valuable. That puts it in a realm that we can understand. We understand how important, how valuable rubies are. So her value is more important than precious stones, if you will. And again, I would ask us men, do we treat our wives like they have that kind of value? So now I'm going to focus on the guys for just a minute as it relates to this virtuous woman. For this woman to make all these efforts to try and be that kind of person that God wants her to be, she's got to have some support. Okay? For the woman to be the virtuous woman, she's got to have support, guys, from us in treating her like she's the virtuous woman. That we value her. That we understand how important she is to our family and to us. Guys, when was the last time you looked your wife in the eye, you held her hand, and not from across the room while you're sitting down in front of the TV with the remote, saying, I love you. Right? It's kind of hard to really get the value of I love you across the room, kind of as a second thought, as opposed to really giving her some attention, looking her in the eye, and saying, I love you, and I love you for all of the things that you do for me and for our family. You think that makes her feel like the virtuous woman? You think that makes her feel like she's recognized for the things she's trying to do to make sure that the family is the way that it should be? For the support that she provides you? For the effort that she puts into being the kind of person that God wants her to be? So, for a woman to be the virtuous woman, they've certainly got a lot to do. But guys, we've got a lot that we've got to do too to give her the praise and give her the glory and show her how much we love her, support her, you know, the children. Is there anything wrong, guys, with you saying to your kids, tell mommy how much you love her. Tell mommy how much you appreciate her. You know, again, just like you say, you know, talk to them about marry somebody that's a godly person. What's wrong with us saying, tell your mom that you appreciate her. Tell your dad that you appreciate him. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because, you know, that's an important thing for them to understand. And maybe if they hear us say, I love you, I appreciate you, then that's another behavior that they can model from us. I love you, honey. I love all the things that you do for our family. If the kids hear and see that kind of action from us, then they're going to understand it must be important. And then her preeminence. Of all the women, she is the most important. She's someone that fears God in verse 30 of chapter 31. And she's going to do the best she can to live a life that reflects that. Okay, Thanks for your thanks for your attention this morning. And again, remember what our lesson is going to be for Wednesday night. It's going to be Gary with lessons 19 and 20. Thank you.